Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by DraftKings. UFC's most notorious icon is stepping back into the octagon this Saturday. Be sure to check out DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the UFC, for a shot to turn $1 into $257. That's right. New users, you can bet $1 on McGregor to win by knockout in the first round. And if he does, you'll be cashing $257. Bet a little, win a lot. It's that simple. All you have to do is download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app. Use code KSN when you sign up to turn $1 into $257 if McGregor wins by first-round knockout. That's code KSN for new players for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only. Restrictions apply in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. It is quarter number four of the Keystone Kickoff Show. That means we bring back Bob Flounders and Andy Shea. And it also means we have to announce our winner from the Ask Ross segment. Yes, guys, I did remember. My streak is intact. And our winner is Ronnie from Toronto. Ooh. So we've got, yeah, how about it? We're an international kind of show here, Bob.
Okay.
You got to be aware of that.
I am now.
Yeah, so we've got our Canadian winner. That's Ronnie from Toronto. Ronnie, I'll be getting in touch with you. Get your mailing address, and we'll get your KSN polo shirt out to you right away. So, Bob, Andy, we are going to continue our series that we started last week. Bob, you did an article for Penn Live, a must-read article on your 21 items for the 21 season. And we decided we would get a series where we go over them because I thought there were some great things in here. And last week we got through exactly two of them.
Right.
Which, you know. Yep. Which makes us as speedy as Andy's bulldog he was telling us about.
Roo!
So, anyway, we delayed the show so Andy could take Roo for a walk. Very good, Andy. So, let's get to number three on your list, Bob. Let's pick up. This is where we left off. And you have in there mapping out a plan for the transfer portal, guys. What did you mean by that?
Well, I mean, Penn State certainly needs a lot of help. James Franklin isn't pulling any punches. Defensive end in particular is a concern. I think the whole defensive line is a concern. But the bigger issue, I think, is that it took a little while, I think, for Franklin and his staff to learn about maximizing maybe the value of the transfer portal. And especially this year, I think there's more guys than ever, I think, are really eligible, I think, for the transfer portal this year, unique year. And Penn State's got some needs. Moving forward, he's talking about, allocating more resources, whether it is, you know, emphasis or scholarships or what have you, to potential impact transfer portal guys. It's one thing to get guys in the transfer portal. It's another thing to get valuable guys in the transfer portal. And looking what Penn State has done during this cycle, I believe there are four guys they have gotten that are transfers. So as I look at that list, you know, without having done a lot of work on them, I think you could make a case that at least three of them probably have a pretty good chance of impacting the 2021 team. You have the Baylor running back, John Levette, I hope I pronounced that right, a Duke defensive lineman, Derek Tangelo, South Carolina corner, John Dixon, and this is going to be the tough one for everyone. Temple defensive end, Arnold Ebikiti. I hope I said that right, Arnold. But that's, you know, of those guys, I think they need some help on the defensive side. I think three of those guys for sure can help Penn State's defense. They're replacing Antonio Shelton inside. They lose three defensive ends, two starters, Jason Awe and Shaka Tony outside, all Big Ten players. And you can never have enough help on the back end. Dixon is a corner. You don't know if he can play any safety. They lose Lamont Wade. So I just think that they need to get, you know, it's going to be tough because James talked on Monday about they don't know what spring practice is going to look like. They don't know if they're going to have spring practice. They're planning on having it. But, guys, we've learned the Big Ten moves very slowly when it comes to making decisions, so they might not find out for a couple weeks yet. I just think they have to have a plan for these guys, and they got to find out early, can they play, can they help them, and where do they best fit maybe on the depth chart?
Go ahead, Andy.
Yeah, thanks, Jim. What I wanted to say was, to me, there's one indication that that James needs to have more of a plan for the transfer portal other than just plugging holes and identifying needs. And, like, defensive end is a four-alarm fire in terms of identifying players that can come in and help right away. But you have to think beyond that, right? Like, Ohio State proved that, right? There's the great example was Ohio State kind of proved that you have to be thinking outside the box a little bit and beyond just what your needs are. And to me, the first step for Penn State in that is running back John Lovett. This was one of two starting running backs at Baylor. He's got 2 years of experience. He's played. He's been productive, durable. And you're like, well, why does Penn State need a guy like that when they've got, you know, when you hopefully have Noah Cain coming back and you got the two guys that are going to be sophomores this year, led by Kevon Lee and Keziah Holmes. And you're like, well, that's a pretty good running back room. And you're like, John Lovett is a starter. John Lovett is going to push for playing time. John Lovett catches the ball very well out of the backfield. So I think that's Penn State's first step in this area, and I just wanted to put my two cents in on that.
Well, we also thought the running back position was very deep going into the 2020 right. season also. And I did want to reference something you said, Bob, about James Franklin talking about the Big Ten making a decision and they can be somewhat slow in their decision making. But don't worry about them being slow. They make up for it by changing their mind a few weeks later anyway.
So. Slow and indecisive. Love it.
That's the winning combination, and I don't see any change there happening. Bob, your next topic, this one I am with you 1,000,000,000%, and that is get some offensive issues cleaned up. Why don't you explain that?
Yeah, so when we talked a little bit earlier on the podcast about, you know, the change at offensive coordinator and maybe why James was in a hurry to do that. I just think that the more we saw of the Penn State offense in 2020, the more predictable it got. As the season went on, I just didn't see a lot of creativity, and not only in the red zone, but just in general. They became very, very predictable. Now, I know they were desperate to win games after they started 0-5, but I just think if you were a defensive coordinator playing against this Penn State offense in 2020, I don't know that you were up late at night, you know, midweek worrying about what you had to stop. I think they were just they were a lot too predictable. I know they didn't have Noah Cain and they didn't have Freiermuth for half the season, but man, I can't remember, you know, this offense was reminiscent, you know, of the John Donovan offenses at Penn State, 14-15, when, you know, in 15, at least they had Saquon Barkley, but they weren't very good with him. And in 2014, they just, you know, it was just a mess. So they need to get a little bit more variety. James Franklin talked about distributing the ball, getting more guys involved, getting more dynamic, finding a way to dial up some explosive plays, which in this day and age is now, I think, 20 or more yards in the pass game, 15 or more yards in the run game. I think a healthy Noah Cain really helps the new offensive coordinator, Mike Yurcich. They have to get better at calling up red zone plays. And you just wonder with Mike Yurcich, when he sees those two big tight ends, you know, Brenton Strange and Theo Johnson, I think he's going to want to use both of them at the same time. And I will just say this. I know that Sam Erlinger ran a lot at Texas, but when your top two quarterbacks, Will Levis and Sean Clifford, I think were 1-3 in attempts. It says a lot about how badly predictable that you were, how predictable you were. And it also says that you didn't really get enough out of your running backs in the running game.
You brought up you have a really good list, Bob, for the offensive issues that need cleaned up. I have three of them. Less running from the quarterback, less running from the quarterback, and less running from the quarterback. I mean, to me, it can function, and you saw it painfully function in 2020 to a degree. And you know that's just got to be, for the kind of offense that James wants to run, watching his offense look like sort of the old John Donovan, or you wonder if Fran Ganner's coaching the offense again at Penn State, to make it look a little bit like that in order to be effective, that just had to make his skin crawl. It won you football games, but that was more out of necessity. It was not an offense. You're 100% right. That gave anybody on a defensive coordinator level for any of those teams any trouble.
Well, in the last minute or two we have here, I wanted to stay on this topic. I'll kick in my two cents. First of all, Bob, you mentioned about being creative in the red zone. I'm assuming you're not referring to fade passes to short wide receivers.
Did Jim bring that up again?
Yes, Jim did bring that up again, yes, and he will for quite a while. Just fair warning. But the other thing was, I felt like I was waiting all year to see Kirk Ciarrocca do to other teams what he did to Penn State when he was at Minnesota, where I felt like he ran this play to set up that play. Mm-hmm. And Bob, I never felt like I saw that this season. Was that the case? Was that what you saw also?
I would agree with you. I just thought that the start of the season was going to lead to something later in the season that was maybe more dynamic, and it was just more the same from game one.
Go ahead, Andy.
Say one thing when we're talking about the offense, and think about this for a second. Cleaning the offense up, we're talking about what they need to do to be better, new offensive coordinator. Let's just not forget, the wide receivers showed up and performed, and possibly you could say, guys, they overperformed. Wide receiver, the position of wide receiver, the biggest question mark going into 2020, wasn't a problem. It was not part of the problem. It was more part of the solution than anything else that they were doing. And you're still sitting here thinking, this offense needs to be better. And wide receiver was not a problem in 2020. That tells you something right there.
And we have Jahan Dotson coming back, the best receiver, which we weren't sure of. So that at least bodes well for 2021. All right, guys, we got through two more topics. We're on our way.
Two more.
That is it for this edition of the show. Thank you all for tuning in, and make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
UFC's most notorious icon is back. Check out DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the UFC. New users can bet $1 on McGregor to win by knockout in the first round, and if he does, you'll be cashing in $257. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app and sign up using code KSN. That's code KSN for limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only. Restrictions apply in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.